Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today, we will begin our study for Quran chapter 9, which, as I have mentioned previously in our last two broadcasts, is the last chapter Muhammad claimed to receive from his angel Jibreel, who delivered that wonderful Quran from Allah, the God of Islam. Now, there are some facts I'd like to share with you about that chapter, which sadly most Muslims do not know. You see, in every chapter of the Quran, we read the opening statement, which is, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Merciful. In the Arabic language, it is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, the word Rahman and the word Rahim are two Hebrew words which actually have the one meaning, which is the word merciful. That's why in my translation I said, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. It sounds like redundant if you read it in English language, especially when we know that in the Arabic it have two different words, the word Rahman and the word Rahim. So if I would say, in the name of Allah, the merciful, sounds like something is wrong in our translation. That's why Muslims would do their best to give you two different words for these words, which is, once again, non-Arabic words. They are Hebrew words, which have the meaning, and the only meaning of them is the word merciful. So a Muslim would say, in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Somebody else would say, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. Wait a minute. Is the word Rahman is compassionate or the word merciful? Well, guess what? Obviously, compassionate and merciful are too close in the English language. But why is he putting them in the wrong order as these translators translate the same sentence from Arabic to English? Or the beneficent, the merciful, the great merciful, the great blah blah. And they come up with so many words to translate two simple words, which are Hebrew words, which means merciful, merciful. Now, in Quran chapter 9, we have a big mystery. We no longer have the words, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful, which is mentioned in the Quran 114 times. That is twice in chapter 1 and one time in the beginning of every chapter. Now I will tell you why a little bit later as we move on to look at the entirety of that chapter. First of all, you have to understand that many Muslim scholars will tell you that that statement is not actually part of the Quran, which means you can remove it from the Quran and we did not lose anything, which actually means we have extra 114 verses in the Quran or sentence in the Quran somebody added to the Quran. Notice also some Muslim scholars said that Quran chapter 1 is not actually a portion of the Quran, which means that two times the words in the name of Allah, the merciful, which are mentioned in Quran chapter 1 are not part of the Quran anyway. Also, some Muslims will make Quran chapter 1 seven verses by making in the name of Allah, the merciful, the opening statement of Quran chapter 1 to be verse 1. In my translation, I only made Quran chapter 1 to have six verses, which means I treated the words in the name of Allah, the merciful, as it is in the rest of the Quran, not to be a verse, but to be, like what you say, an opening statement. The Muslim scholars who believe that in the name of Allah, the merciful, is not part of the Quran, they acknowledge that statement only one time to be portion of the Quran, and that is when we read the letter which was written by King Solomon to the Queen of Sheba, as it is written in Quran chapter 27 and verse 30. Now today I will do something unusual. I have not done it in the past of all the 79 broadcast as we moved on to do this study. For today, I will be reading to you all the bold statements which I have inserted throughout the Quran in my translation. The reason I inserted some of these bold statements in the beginning of some passages of the Quran to catch your attention as my wonderful readers to realize there's something important coming up. Sometime I'll show you where the story of the Quran is taken from, which means I'm pointing to the true source of the Quran. Sometimes I show you the contradiction between one passage and another in the Quran, or just to point to some errors in the teaching of these passages. Or just simply I'll say, here we go, the story of this person or that person is copied from the Bible and repeated again and again and again. So today I would like to share with you all these bold statements which I have written in Quran chapter 9. In the beginning of Quran chapter 9, I wrote the following statement. Notice this is the final portion of the revelation Muhammad claimed to receive from his angel Jibreel. It does not include the statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. It begins with the word innocent. In the Arabic language, Allah and his messenger Muhammad are innocent concerning the killing of idolaters, the Christians, the Jews, especially with those whom Muhammad had made a previous covenant not to be killed. You see, Muhammad in his early days, when he claimed to be a prophet, when he was weak, when he was living in Mecca for a good 13 years, that is between the age of 40 and 53, made many covenants with different groups, as we just mentioned. So he made covenant with some Jewish people, some Christian people, some idol worshippers, and these and those. Obviously, because he was trying to create allies, not just because these people are going to believe in him, but he is protecting himself from future attacks, because that was the only way for Muhammad and his people to survive and succeed in his claiming to be a prophet. So what did Muhammad do? He made these covenants with different groups that he created a peace agreement that they will not harm him and he will not harm them, and that they will not aid somebody else to harm him, and so on with whatever written in these agreements. I believe I see Muhammad here as a bully. He starts smart because he was weak, and he knows that he cannot take all these peoples of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula by his small, tiny minority of people. And these covenants last many years, as long as Muhammad was weak. Now Muhammad left Mecca and he went to Medina. He continued to make some of these covenants with even some of the Arab people in the early days when he moved to Medina. But now we come to the end of the story. Quran chapter 9. Muhammad, when he left Mecca and went to Medina, he had with him roughly around 40 some people. I will round the number and I will shoot it for 100, okay? 100 people joined Muhammad and became the early Muslim believers, the immigrants of Yathrib. Now, 9 years later, he have 10,000 men who are simply an army. Now Muhammad is coming back to the city of Mecca. Do you think he will come back to invade it with the statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful? That would be a great contradiction. How can Allah be merciful, merciful, and you are coming to slaughter the Jews and the Christians, the idol worshippers, the Sabaeans, and on with the rest of the people who live in Mecca? That is, include all the people he made covenant with that he will not harm them, and even including his closest family members, as we have mentioned in our last broadcast, his own uncle and his own cousin, whom he beheaded after the Battle of Badr. So now we have to get rid of, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. But that is not what all Muslims claim. For as we read in their interpretation for why that statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, is not found in the beginning of the chapter, we know that there are hundreds of pages were written, and Muslim scholars disagree about why Allah did not put that basmala, which is the opening statement in that chapter, which is the final chapter. And I will summarize these hundreds of pages in simple two statements. Some say that Quran chapter 8 and Quran chapter 9 are actually one chapter. And somehow, some people come up with the idea to break them to two chapters. Quran chapter 8, the spoil of war, and Quran chapter 9, which is the book of repentance. Or some other people call it the book of innocent. Other scholars said, no, that Quran chapter 9 used to be as big as Quran chapter 2. Now, if you are familiar with the Quran, you'll realize that Quran chapter 2 actually 286 verses. Imagine me that Quran chapter 9 used to be so long, or even longer than the longest chapter in the Quran, 286 verses. And what happened was that one big portion of Quran chapter 9 was dropped off, meaning canceled, erased, deleted, which used to be at the beginning of Quran chapter 9. Result of that, we lost literally 155 verses of Quran chapter 9. And because of that, we lost the opening statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, for the merciful. I'm amazed that I can read that written by the hand of the greatest Muslim scholars. And Muslims until today still believe that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah, never be changed, we never lost a sentence, we never lost even a word. When in reality, we know throughout the pages of the Quran, hundreds of pages had disappeared. Besides, obviously, from the 40-some different Arabic Qurans we have today in the world, we have thousands and thousands of different words between one Arabic Quran and another. Obviously, we have to say that the Muslims are destroyed for the lack of knowledge about the true nature of the Quran.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
So, in summary, Muhammad, in the beginning, he used to come up with kind words in the poetry of his Quran. There was no violence. There used to be doing good, not to have enmity with anybody. That is because, obviously, he was weak. Now, in the end of his life, in his 60s, he became so violent to the point that, as we have seen in our last program, he did not show any mercy, but he killed his own uncle and cousin. That's why Allah sent to Muhammad, Quran chapter 9, verse 5, known by Muslim scholars, the verse of the sword. That one verse Allah used to abrogate 124 verses in the Quran, which is all the soft verses which Muslims, as I said many times in the past, love to quote for us here in America. And we will be giving you plenty of examples to prove our point. That is concerning why we are missing the opening statement of Quran chapter 9. Now let me read to you the rest of the bold statements which I have written at the beginning of some of the verses of the Quran. For example, before Quran chapter 9 verse 5, I said, Muslims are commanded to kill all polytheists who do not accept Islam. According to Muslim scholars, this verse abrogates 124 other verses throughout the entire Quran, which indicated any compassion for Christians and Jews. Also notice verse 6 is abrogated by verse 5. That is one of the great deception which Muslims love to quote in the Quran, that Usama Dagdog is not telling the truth about chapter 9 verse 5. And he always misunderstands the verses. Even after I share Quran chapter 9 verse 5 and I share the interpretation by all Muslim scholars, Muslims still argue and says that I am lying. Why? They say, just look at verse 6. Verse 6, which is just immediately the following verse of chapter 9, verse 5, it teaches the opposite of Mr. Dakdok. You see, he is taking that verse, Quran 9, 5, out of context, and he misunderstands that verse. Just read the following verse, verse 6, which we will be doing, by the way, in our next broadcast. But let's move on to the bold statement before verse 12. For there we read, Muslims are commanded to engage in war with those who insult the religion of Islam. And obviously you may have seen in the world lately how Muslim issue decree, which we call fatwa, of killing someone who was just simply draw a picture of Muhammad because they think, hey, he's insulting our prophet. Or other Christian who will write anything against Islam just to write your thought about what is happening in the cult of Islam. Now you insulted Allah. Now you insult Muhammad. Whatever you say, whatever you write, whatever you draw, that will give the Muslim the right to kill you. Once again, that is what we'll be discovering in verse 12. Before verse 18 of Quran chapter 9, I wrote, Muslims are not allowed to let anyone into the mosques who do not believe and pray and pay the religious tax. Those who only take the pilgrimage are not on the same high level of those who perform jihad. As we see in Quran chapter 9, Allah always emphasized about the importance of engaging in war and the importance of performing jihad. And we also will be looking at that verse in depth to see what Allah means by what he mentioned in these verses. Before verse 20, I put the statement, Muslims who perform jihad with their money and with their lives for the sake of Allah are of the greater worth. Yes, indeed, you can be a Muslim, practice all the pillars of Islam. That is, you say the Shahada, you pray five times a day, you fast Ramadan, you give zakat to help the cause of Islam, and you perform the Hajj, and you even lead thousands and thousands of naive Americans to Islam, which we call the pillar of Dawah. But when you die, after all that, you are guaranteed to be in hell. How can you escape hell? It is one way and one way only, which is to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. Now, before verse 23, we read, Muslims are commanded not to take their own family members as friends if those family members are not believers. And boy, oh boy, once again, don't forget, Muhammad killed his own uncle and his own cousin because they were not believers in him after the battle of Badr. Before verse 28, I wrote, Muslims are commanded not to allow anyone who worship other gods near the forbidden mosque. This includes Christians, since Muslims believe that they worship three, that is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Allah. This rule is still practiced in Saudi Arabia today, which means you and I cannot go to Mecca or Medina as long as we do not have the visa to enter these cities. And the visa is you have to say there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, which means you have to be a Muslim to be able to go into these cities. Before verse 29, we read, Muslims are commanded to kill the Jews and Christians. And we found out why. Because that is the promise of Allah in the previous verse, that is verse 28, that he will enrich the Muslim believers by the money which they will gain from the Jews and the Christians. If it is about killing them and taking their spoils of war, or simply receiving the jizya, that is tribute tax, as they will be given in submission. Before verse 30, I wrote, infidels accept rabbis and monks as lords rather than God and Christ. There is a very big controversy over that verse. We will explain it when we get to it in detail. Now, before verse 33, we read, Allah will give Islam victory over all other religion. That is over Christianity and Judaism. That is something Muslims will not say openly today in the West, but for sure, soon they will. Before verse 38, I put my bold statement. This is a warning to those who will not give up this world and go to war for Allah. What is that warning? We will cover it in a future broadcast. Now, before verse 41, we read, giving money and life to engage in war is the best for Muslims. Those who truly believe in Allah do not ask to be exempt from wars. Before verse 49, I wrote in my bold statement, all Muslims who do not go to war will go to hell. Before verse 57, we wrote, those who swear they are Muslims and hide in caves rather than engage in war are not with Muhammad. Before verse 60, we wrote, alms can be used to bribe people to believe in Islam. As for the bold statement which I wrote before verse 73, it says Muhammad was commanded to engage in war and to be harsh against the infidels and the hypocrites. These are what we call in America moderate Muslims. Before verse 80, I wrote Muhammad has no power to help the hypocrites to receive forgiveness for their sins. As for the bold statement before verse 81, we wrote, Muslims who do not go to war do not get a second chance to escape hell. As for the bold statement before 86, we read, Muslims who go to war for Allah will go to the gardens. The bold statement before verse 90, only the weak and the sick are exempt from going to war. Before verse 93, I wrote, Muslims who do not go to war are sealed for hell. As for the bold statement before verse 102, a Muslim could receive purification and sanctification from sin by giving money. And the bold statement before verse 111 was dying in jihad and paying money are two conditions for Muslims to go to the garden. And jihad is mentioned in the gospel. Is this true? Finally, before verse 123, I wrote, Muslims are commanded to engage in war against their neighbors who do not believe in Allah. As you see from the bold statements which I have mentioned in Quran chapter 9, we will have a long study and lots of material to cover. And this will not be my personal opinion, but it will be simply the Muslim scholar's interpretation to their holy book, the generous Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.